In the Loop with Chris, Zach, and Alex Lupica.
Hey everyone, we want to let you know that today's episode of In the Loop is brought to you by Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. All right, here we go. Time for a podcast, Wednesday evening. Chris, why don't you start by explaining why you're on the telephone right now and not behind a microphone?
Well, we're doing a phoner. And the reason is because my laptop, which I need in order to get my little setup here, is stuck in its dock at my office. So I realized at the end of work, you push the button, it's supposed to come out. The laptop pops out. Bingo. Unfortunately, that didn't happen today. And after about 10 minutes of working with the IT guy to try to get it out of there, I'm like, I got to go. So we're going to reassess in the morning.
Zach, are you buying this at all?
I guess. He sounds like... he's telling the truth.
What would be the,
it would be a very be intricate reason? Lie, if yeah. not. You right. know?
What would I get out of said lie?
I don't know. It just smells like a cover-up to me. You know?
Yeah, just, right. But there'd be no benefit. Like, either way, I'm still here doing the same thing I'd be doing with a laptop.
The theories you've been getting is that you left it there, got home, realized it.
There are a couple theories flying around, dude, okay? That's all you need to know.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what to tell you guys.
Now our producers are going to be all mad at us.
But we can place the blame squarely on you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no problem.
But we got a lot to talk about. Big guest today. Very versatile guest, wouldn't you say, Kloop?
Well, we struck gold with our guest today, didn't we, boys?
Yeah, I mean, when you get lucky, you send a guy, you pay for his trip down to the Firefly in the Bahamas, and it hits gold. You got a reporter on the ground. Next thing you know, it's the biggest story in the world.
Is it Fire or Firefly?
I think it's Fry Festival.
Fry? No, it's Fry. Fire. It's Fire. We should know this before
it's
we get Cython.
Fire?
Yeah.
What else would it be?
Yeah, no, it's
F-Y-R-E. It's just Fire with a Y.
Yeah, Fire. Okay, so anyway, Zach, explain who it is. Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast. He was down there. He was on the ground.
He was in the refugee camp.
And he also happens to be a horse expert. So it worked out with the Kentucky Derby coming on that, you know, we would hit both.
We got topical news story that he was on the ground for and Derby preview. I got a lot of questions about this music festival.
I'm glad.
And you know what one of the most interesting things about his story is that they were, as I understand it, with a big group, half made it into the mayhem and half got delayed and then went to the mansion in Florida.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Muck or
it is Lord of the Flies. Man, group on the island must have been really upset.
A lot of animosity flying through the group chat.
I bet.
Yeah.
So that's all very good. Kloop, I know you have a lot of questions about this thing, too.
I do, but I won't be able to ask them because of the phoner thing we talked about.
Oh, that was not me.
Which he won't be able to ask.
I was not trying to be a dick there. I actually thought... we had the tech.
Kloop's got a lot
you're
of
right,
good,
we
good
don't.
Other stuff.
Yeah, but you got a lot of good other stuff, Kloop.
I do. There's a lot of good stuff to talk about. Last basketball, we got this baseball beef that is just continues. I can't wait to ask Zach about it. So, we got some stuff.
Things really getting into the end of NBA playoffs right now.
Yeah, super. Zach's got a lot of thoughts on Isaiah Thomas. He's got a lot of thoughts on the Cavs, as you would imagine. And playoffs getting very interesting. I don't know. I'd be a little frightened of the Celtics swagger right now, man.
Yeah.
I got to say, if I were the Cavs.
Yeah. That's where we
Kloop, do you agree at all with that?
No.
And we can get into it more, but no.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's going to be, if that's the way that it turns out, I think that it's going to be a competitive series, certainly more so than I would have thought halfway through the year or at the beginning of the year. The Celtics having home court, they could give them a series.
I wouldn't put the Celtics even in that series yet. I think that the Wizards could easily win game three, even that thing back up.
All right. Little NFL draft also, Kloop. QBs. Love them all, but you got to have a favorite today.
Yeah, that's good stuff. We got the four quarterbacks. I mean, went in the first, or was it three or four? Whatever. They all went, and we got Mitch going number two, Deshaun, Mahomes, so lots to talk about there.
We almost got Trubisky on, too. We were close.
We came very close, but actually, we wanted Scythe.
Yeah.
Scythe has the bigger scoop right now on the festival. So lots to get into. But first, this from ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Lupica. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Lupica. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Lupica. All right, Salute. Isaiah Thomas goes for 53. Celts have won 6 straight playoff games since 0-2 to the Bulls. You're not worried at all. You say don't put them in the Eastern Conference Finals yet.
No, I think that Wizards blew 2 big leads. I think they have the best player in the series still, John Wall. I think that when they go, I think it's going to be 2-2. I think they're going to win both games at home.
Yeah, the Wizards have looked really good at times, Kloop.
Well, the Wizards have looked really good with their starting five on the floor.
Yeah, the problem, dominance.
The problem the Wizards have is that they have two elite guys, but, you know, 5 through 8, they're really weak. The Celtics' strength is 1 through 9. I mean, even after I take Isaiah out of it, they have 8 really, really good players. So the Wizards struggle anytime Beal and anytime Wall is off the court. So I personally expect the Celtics to win this series, but I'm fascinated by this Isaiah Thomas thing. I cannot believe how good this guy is at 5'9".
He's become the story of the playoffs, I think, undoubtedly, and that's a playoffs that includes LeBron and the Warriors. And well, he's been incredible. It's unbelievable how he does it. He's my height.
Take the personal, you know, tragedy out of the equation.
You want to take the tooth out of the equation also while we're at it?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about this guy's play on the court that has, you know, I think that he's so, everyone is very dismissive of Isaiah Thomas, right? Like, and I think it's fair to be because he's 5'9". He's literally the smallest player in the league. But at what point do you start to accept the fact that this guy is a superstar in the league? I mean, do you put him in that category?
I think, yeah, people have already started to accept that.
Yeah, he got 30 a game.
I would still take Wall over him and Irving, but he's definitely the third best point guard to me in the East.
Do you think Zach Kyrie is the X factor of the playoffs?
Yes. That's a good
point. At his best, he is as good as there is in the league.
Yeah, I think it's clear at this point that if there's a big spot down the stretch, he's going to have the ball. He's so hard to guard off the dribble.
He's so, and he's as quick as Wall and as good with the ball as Wall.
Yeah.
And he has a stroke.
Yeah. If he plays really, he's going to need to play unbelievable.
Yeah, I think they live and die with Kyrie, Kloop.
I agree. I would have said, you know, before this playoff run, I would have agreed that he's behind Kyrie and Wall. I'm not sure. At the very least, he's closed the gap significantly. I mean, this guy scored 87 points in the last 2 games. He is the best player on his team, which you can't say about Kyrie. And he's pretty much abusing John Wall's team. So
John Wall's averaging 30 and 11 in the playoffs.
This guy's averaging 43 points a game in the first 2 games against him.
Yeah,
but throughout the whole playoffs, Wall had a historic first round.
That's fine. I'm just saying, like, it's not obvious that John Wall's a better player than Isaiah Thomas to me.
If you were starting a team, who would you rather have?
I'm not sure. That's what I'm saying. I'm willing to.
Yeah, I was just asking.
I'm a lot more willing to accept that Isaiah Thomas is a guy that you would start a team with. I also think that Bradley Beal is a better number 2 than anyone that Isaiah Thomas has on his team.
And he didn't show up at all in game 2.
The very awkward air ball.
I mean, an unbelievable air ball. We can get to that in a second.
And he was 1 for 4 in the first half.
a 9-foot jump shot at the buzzer, literally uncovered for one of the best shooters in the league with an air ball.
Straight melt.
I could have made that.
You always make that little 10-footer, yeah. You know?
So I think it's interesting. I mean, I don't know. What would you compare the Isaiah Thomas thing to? I mean, this is the guy who went number 60 overall in the draft, and every single year has gotten better to the point where now, you know, you're talking about him as the leading scorer in the league. Steve Nash is the only person I can think of in hoops that even comes close.
Very hard to make a comparison at 5'9".
And I also think if I've seen anything through these first two games is that there's a huge coaching mismatch.
Bradley is...
if you could flip those two, I would really like my chances with Washington.
Yeah. Oh, love. Yeah. Love my... With Stevens at the helm in Washington, yeah.
He just abused him in both second halves.
They're the one seed with Stevens in Washington. Mm-hmm. Kloop, what do you make of what's going on in the West? And we've only seen one game as we record this between the Rockets and the Spurs, but it was an ugly one.
And the Spurs win.
The Rockets shot 53s, I think, Kloop.
Well, that's what the Rockets do, and you know, this, it's an interesting matchup. The Spurs, I think, are going to have to go small, right? Because, I mean, Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge aren't able to get out and guard on the perimeter. So I'd be surprised, though, if the Spurs don't win tonight at home. It's a game they really need. And I'm not, you know, just off of one game, we're recording this before game two. It's tough because, look, if the Rockets are going to shoot like that, then they're going to win. But the game could turn out to be either A, indicative of like the rest of the series and the Spurs really can't hang with him, or B, an outlier and we might see a very different
could be an aberration. I feel like they're a tough matchup for the Spurs, and we're going to find out what Kawhi's made of.
I really like the guy coming off a huge loss like that. You got to like the guy you have on the bench, though, if you're the Spurs. You can't imagine, you got to imagine that he's going to come out with something.
He gives them a little bit of an edge, doesn't he?
Yeah, after a big loss like that, they're going to go in with a better game plan. And LaMarcus Aldridge, if he doesn't show up, then they're going to lose because he should be their second-best player, and he's played like absolute garbage.
All right, Kloop, let's move on to a little baseball. Zach, things getting...
We got to talk baseball here. This is a big week for baseball.
Out of hand between the Orioles and the Red Sox. This is a team that is going to have to play each other many more times. It was just breaking across ESPN that I guess Rob had a call, and by Rob, I mean the commish. I apologize for being so informal.
You guys were on a first-name basis.
Yeah, so anyways, he held a call, friend of the pod, he held a call with the GMs and managers of both teams, told them to cut it out or there will be big consequences or whatever.
No warnings, though, before the game.
No, yeah, tonight. No warnings before the Wednesday night game.
So we don't know what can happen tonight, you know, for those of you listening tomorrow.
No warnings? You got to figure someone's getting buzzed, man.
Probably. You want me to give you the timeline?
Yeah, give us a timeline. Give us your take.
So they play last week. Machado slides through second. Hurts Pedroia. He missed a couple games. Like, it didn't look like it was that bad. He looked pretty apologetic after. He has a little bit of a pass. He threw a bat at a guy. And what people really haven't been talking about is the next day, Eduardo Rodriguez had clearly been told to hit him the next time they played. And he threw like four straight pitches inside, but wasn't close enough. And they used to be teammates. So it seemed like he didn't want to do it. So then Matt Barnes in the bullpen comes in.
And Matty B is happy to oblige.
He's ready to buzz the old power.
And you want to give him the benefit of the doubt and think that he wasn't trying to hit him in the head with a fastball.
No, but he was going at him and he lost it up.
He lost control, yeah. And it was a scary pitch. And he got suspended. Then they come back to Fenway this week.
Mm-hmm.
And they hit Mookie Betts, like in the hip. So you think it's over, and then last night Sale throws behind Machado for his pitch.
Machado goes yard.
He also struck him out the first three.
Sale also looked incredible. Yeah. And then Machado goes off on the biggest F-bomb laced tirade in recent sports memory.
Yeah.
So that's why I think, I don't know.
So I think Sale just kind of went rogue there. I was watching the game, and I thought it had been over, and then he did that, and you're kind of like,
Sale is a mega hardo.
I think that he wanted to come in and put his stake into the new team.
Yep.
These are my guys. He went back in the dugout. He struck out the side in the first inning.
Yeah. Do you think, Chris, there is anything to be said for Machado's comments about pitchers getting slaps on the wrist, getting three or four games for throwing at these guys 100, and then if Machado goes at a guy with a bat, he gets a season or gets thrown in jail? Like, a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, you don't have to be a hard-ass to think that's scary as hell.
Right. Okay. But let's talk about the optics of the two things that you just discussed, right?
Okay.
One of them is a pitch.
I'm not equating the two.
Because,
but I'm saying,
No,
I'm just saying he has a point that one weapon.
You can't hit a guy with a bat.
It's disproportionate. That's all I'm saying.
A
100 mile an hour pitch at the head, four games in a bat. You know, a bat can do damage, but a guy, that's a season.
In the American League has a gripe that a pitcher doesn't have to come to bat.
That's true too.
So if you're in the NL and you throw at somebody, you gotta go up to the plate and you're the one getting hit.
Yes.
Well, yes. Okay, so let me
So
let
you
me
like that.
Here.
You just say put them all in the box, just retaliation fest.
Yeah, I think that there's a place for it in the game. Like, your guy takes out my guy, you hit him in the back, and then it's over.
Yeah, where does this one end though?
But
this is one of the longer.
He got four games for throwing over his head, and it should have been more than that. If you throw at a guy's neck or head, it's got to be more.
Yeah, 10 games at the minimum.
Yeah, agree.
So, anyways, Kloop, I don't know. I feel like baseball players are too sensitive, but I do think 100 at the head is grounds for being very scared.
And go ahead.
I don't disagree. But I wonder. Like, part of me thinks, okay, it's extremely dangerous to throw at players. And like Zach said, like, maybe he's not trying to hit him in the head, but the ball goes up there, and all of a sudden, like, baseball's put in this really bad situation where, like, eventually someone might get drilled in the face, and it becomes a huge deal, right? But on the other hand, Is this an important part of the game? And I'll defer to you, Zach, because in a way, like, you have this, you have the Roughneck Ogre fight last year.
Oh, we were just rewatching the highlight of that punch. That was clean shot.
Yeah, as a
continue.
Right, and so this generates a lot of interest for the game, and people will say, you know, baseball purists will say, this goes back 100 years, it's part of the game, it's going to be part of the game. I'm not sure. At first, I'm thinking this is dangerous and could be really bad optically. But on the other hand, we are talking about it.
Yeah, I think it's good for the game as much as you want to say.
It's good for the popularity.
I think it's
game,
all
that's
fine
for sure.
As long as you're not throwing it at the guy's head.
Keep it down, Matty Barnes.
Keep it down. Hit him in the hook. Hit him in the butt.
And, right in the behind.
And eventually these things have to, like, fizzle. And I think that's what Rob's trying to do today. Because at a certain point, it's like, okay, you hit that, we hit Machado. Now, if they hit Jackie Bradley tonight, then do they get to hit Machado again? You know, it's like, at a certain point, it's got to kind of come to an end.
Yeah, there's a definitely chance that, like, Hanley gets hit tonight.
That's the thing they play with these teams.
They play tonight, they play tomorrow night. And then they play 14 more times. So it's going to have to stop eventually.
What do you think?
I like when they keep it over the offseason. When it lingers through the offseason and then there's still going to be beef. So,
Texas and Rangers. Yeah. Excuse me. Rangers and Blue Jays, I feel like, had that. But I was going to say, what do you think about the pregame warning from Manfred and not the pregame warning from the umps? Does that count?
No, like, if you get drilled, you're not getting thrown out of the game. Unless it's right above his head.
It could be after the game.
Yeah, right.
All right,
but if you warn him before the game, you get hit, then you're tossed, which they didn't do. So
I'm excited to watch. Kloop, NFL Draft, QB Fest. I think it's all Mahomes. I love him. He's not going to start right away. He's not going to play right away, but the slinger is going to get a chance eventually. Love where he ended up. That's my guy.
Well, he's certainly in a great situation because Andy Reid, not only the sexiest coach in the NFL, but really good offensive mind. He gets to sit behind Alex Smith for a year, I guess.
Who's kind of like the anti-Mahomes. So I feel like that could be really nice for him. Learning from a game manager, he's not one, you know?
Well, I'd be interested to see now how this plays out, right? Because it's very easy to say in May, on May 2nd, that, oh, well, he's going to sit out a year. But then, like, week 8, if your team is underperforming, then you're going to get a lot of clamor for the new rookie to play.
What do you make of Chicago, Mitch?
Well, they went up and got their guy.
Dude,
sure
they got skewered. Yeah, have you been reading about all this behind-the-scenes stuff? about how it went down. It sounds like draft day and Costner was negotiating with them. they got fleeced.
Costner gets the last laugh in that film, okay? So let's not.
No, I'm saying it seems like
the Niners are
fleeced them. Costner is the Niners.
They got their guy and all their picks.
Yeah.
I was thinking.
Like, they couldn't believe it based on everything I read.
The Bears didn't, like, know how the draft worked.
No, it doesn't seem like they know a lot about how front office activity
goes.
But
they did get Mitch.
But they got their guy, Clue, as you said.
Well, the thing is, they better really believe in this guy. Apparently, a lot of this dates back to the Carson Wentz thing. The Bears GM wanted to go up and get Wentz last year. He's been kicking himself all offseason. So we saw that shiny little Mitch Trubisky, and he needed to get it. I hope he got him not just because he wanted to get a quarterback, but because Mitch can play. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. Just the stuff you read.
They should have stuck with Jay.
Cannot be very inspiring.
Everything was easier when they had Jay.
Oh, speaking of Jay, I was watching a little Met Gala coverage.
Of course you were.
Cavalieri all over it. Killing it.
Was Jay there?
That was my first question.
Jay was also an analyst. He was loving a lot of the outfits. Yeah.
Jay probably was like, fuck that. I'm not going to that.
So Mitch is your guy? What's your favorite pick of the draft? How do you feel about the Giants?
Giants got a freak athlete who is, I guess, a tight end, a hybrid wide receiver, Ingram from Ole Miss. I don't know. The thing about the draft, and Zach and I were talking about this, is after a certain point, it's like, I really don't know. You know, I hope that Jerry Reese is right, just like he was about Odell Beckham, and the guy doesn't suck.
Yeah, who the hell knows? Zach, Pack?
Crushed it. In Ted, we trust.
Crushed it.
It's the same thing. Crushed whoever it. He's taking, I'm with him. He's had so much success in the past, it's hard to, you know, fault him much.
Zach, who do you think will start a game first? Trubisky, Watson, or Mahomes?
Watson.
You think Watson will be the week one starter for the Texans?
Yes.
Yeah, so do I. I think you're right about that. I think Mitch will come in about week nine after Mike Glennon throws a few too many picks in Soldier Field.
I don't see that happening. Moving on, Clue. Your boy Nick Saban getting a decent contract at Bama. I think it's a steal. $11 million a year.
Any contract that Nick Saban gets is a bargain, because apparently the football program made $47 million last year. So, you know, it's always like, I feel like these guys, they put those numbers out to criticize, you know, a guy like Saban, and he's underpaid. It's like LeBron James.
This puts him right up there in the upper echelon in all of sports, right?
Apparently nobody really knows what Belichick makes, because he's got like he's got multiple roles, so people are like, they don't really like, he makes X amount as a coach, and then he's also like the president of the team. Nobody knows how much that gets kicked in. Popovich makes a shitload to coach the Spurs. He gave a wine bar $5,000 tip the other day. So it's good to be a coach.
Yeah, it's good to be a really good coach. But I think...
What do you think,
Go ahead.
What do you think?
Go ahead. About Saban making $11 million? He's won 4 national titles, dude. He deserves it.
There's a statue of him in front of the goddamn stadium.
Wonder how much that cost.
A lot. You get a statue while you're still out of school. That's good. A la Cam Newton. Maybe a season after. You want to comment quickly on Theo damaging the World Series trophy, Chris?
Yeah, you know, what do we have here, Zach? If you damage the World Series trophy, is there only one trophy? Like, do you have to put the damage, keep the damage trophy? Can you repair?
They'll prepare for him, no worries.
They got
no
a couple dummies.
Somebody dropped the national championship crystal football and it exploded, and it's fine now, so I don't know.
Who dropped the football?
I don't know.
Are you making that
Roy
up?
McIlroy dropped the Claire jug, didn't he?
Yeah, McIlroy, yeah.
You got to figure the Claire jug. What do you think is the most dinged up trophy in sports?
Stanley Cup.
Oh, the Stanley Cup, dude.
Yeah, Stanley Cup has probably seen some shit.
You could probably get pregnant from the Stanley Cup.
The bean pot in Boston used to get pretty interesting. You know,
well, let's not go down that road.
No, we won't. But anything, you know, you can pour stuff into, a la the claret jug, a la the bean pot.
We know you party, dude. We get it.
You know,
any sort of receptacle.
Exactly. But Zach, I got to check out this smashing of the national championship trophy.
I love it.
I think you're making that up, man.
No, there's only one way to find out, dude.
All right, Chris, we got to talk to Scythe about fire.
Are we gonna do any fake news?
Yeah. We'll catch you on the other side of Scythe with some fake news. All right, Zach, on the line. We have Fire Festival survivor and horse race handicapping specialist.
He's won his last six derbies.
He never loses a derby. Will Forsythe on the line to tell us about what must have been an interesting experience, William.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, guys. You know, I'm happy to be here, happy to be alive. It was quite the experience.
I was worried about you.
Just lay out the timeline for us. Just take us through step by step.
Yeah, well, I mean, it all started with Brent setting this fire festival thing. We all were jacked up. As the months went by, we started thinking, man, this is such a Ponzi scheme. We are totally screwed.
So it had crossed your mind.
What were the signs that were, like, leading you to believe that this thing was sketchy?
The fact that they wanted our passport photos uploaded onto the website, that was probably the first sign of, like,
the
hey.
The first red flag.
Yep. That sounds like a red flag.
Something that your parents kind of warned you of, like, not to do, and that was just the first thing where I was like, hey, this is red flag number one. You know, if we go down the line, it's uploading. So this is good. They told us to, we called them, they're like, yeah, you should upload at least $1,000 per day that you're going to be there. And we all, I mean, that was comical. Like, how could you possibly spend $1,000 a day at a festival?
And why would you need to upload it anywhere?
They're like, no, we want
exactly.
it all like, up front.
Like, why do I need to preload? If you guys have a credit card swiper, I'll just bring my credit card.
Yeah, let's just go with classic commerce.
Yeah, I pay for the things I want.
I mean, give you money, you give me a beer, instead of I give you $1,000 and hope this isn't a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 2017.
Yeah.
Like, we have little swiper things that go into your phone.
Yes.
So what were you expecting there? Like, I wasn't really in the loop before this. What was it supposed to be? Like a Coachella type thing?
In theory, it was like, you know, we were expecting an 8-man suite, you know, something where, like, you
that should have been another red flag.
Just a lavish suite. I love it. Okay.
I mean, I'm picturing, like, you know, outlets and, like, basically that they rented out a huge hotel that has done something like this before, like that. That
you had no, you hadn't seen any pictures.
Well, they, yeah, that's another red flag.
Yeah.
The only pictures they showed were like models on Wave Runner, and you know they said that there was $1 million worth of treasure hidden on the island. Let me tell you,
that's
I don't
another
know
red
the,
flag.
Wow, but what a fake promise!
Now
I
that
love
I'm
it.
Hearing yeah, this, like, I'm not surprised
how,
by what happened.
Yeah, I mean, when you get to this island, like, I don't even know where you'd start in hiding $1 million worth of stuff.
Okay, so take us to the island now.
Yeah, okay, well, let me just tell you, the talent in the airport, we were getting stoked. And then we started being like, maybe this is exactly what we thought it would be.
Things
you know,
are starting to look up in the airport.
Yeah, like, this is going to be sick. The boys are fired up.
Couple cocktails in the airport, and you're feeling good about things.
Couple of cocktails at the airport, a couple of cigarettes on the bus when we landed there.
Right.
And then, so we landed and, like, I didn't have my luggage on me, and I realized halfway, like, how am I going to get my luggage? So that was number one. We it's a 20-minute ride from the airport. It's a gorgeous drive, but we pull into this, what I would call a refugee-looking camp.
So right when you get the bus pulls up, you are like,
you realize the 8-man suite was not in the cards all along.
that's when things really started to hit. It was like, wait a second, this looks like a 2-man igloo that's on like rock that you would excavate or like frack into, you know.
And were there a lot of people there when you got there?
There was a decent amount of people, but it was more just chaos, like
panic.
There was I think they were supposed to have 2,500 people on the island once it was at full capacity. They only had one person on an iPad / like a Dell computer checking people in. And when I say checking people in, well, you know, like Barrett doesn't wait in line. So we just cut, you know, the 100, right. 200 people. And then
so you're making friends there. Right away. That's good.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Already. Yeah, we're as friendly as it gets. And, you know, they say, what's your name? We give our name. And they're like, oh, you're in hut HB, C, section, whatever.
And then, you got to walk through the swamp, and then you take a left.
Anything that starts in a hut, I don't know.
They had a local guy, like, bring us. Like, how the hell does that guy know what HB7... whatever
he's like, you guys can just get out of here.
Those numbers mean nothing. Just pick
that's
a hut.
What happened is these huts had like no markers, they looked the same, and there was absolutely no section. This guy just kind of walks around and he's like, yeah, you guys are right here. You know, we go in there. It's basically two bed frames without any mattresses. I don't know if you guys heard, but they left the mattresses out the night before, and then it stormed like crazy. Like, all these tents were...
They didn't think about the rain. You know, the weather can get you. That is so shitty. So, did you sleep on the bed frames?
Yeah, like, actually, you know what? If the mattresses were dry, beds would have been pretty decent. I was expecting, like, a sleeping bag and a rock.
But they were soaked.
It would have been better than sleeping on a wet mattress. Let me tell you, that is like.
So once you realized how bad it was, were you just thinking about like, how do I get out of here? Or were you thinking that things could turn for the better?
I was on the optimism side. I had been so pessimistic that I was like, you know what? This is going to work out, man.
Yeah, bands
like,
are about to show up. Chicks are going to get here. It's going to be fine.
Things are just going to start to
look
good.
Bands are
going to
dry.
I bet you were in the minority of people that were optimistic.
Oh, I can guarantee I was one of like 20 people on the island who were optimistic. Everyone else was freaking out.
And half of your crew ends up in Florida at the mansion because their flight got delayed?
So that's when we found out. Barrett was sleeping most of the time. He, I guess he doesn't really, he can't hang anymore, but...
Wow.
So he's passed out.
Killing Barrett.
Kev and I people were calling us the night watch crew because we were holding down another hut next to us for, you know, the other guys, Barry, Beto, Brent.
Oh, so you were still expecting them to come.
Yeah. So we were like, oh, okay, we're going to lock this down. We're sitting here. And then my time frame was off, probably 12:30, Fabry checked his phone and said, like, these guys, they're not letting any flights into the Bahamas for a fire festival due to, like, it wasn't even safety concerns. I think the government, like, shut it down.
So then you're like, okay, things might be bad.
They've quarantined the island.
Optimism
I'm on the
island. At that point, I assume.
It's got to be hard to be optimistic at that point.
Yeah, it was hard to be optimistic then. Then it was kind of like, all right, well, let's go get some cheese on bread and...
God, that is an old school snack.
And then did they start sending flights the next day to come get people?
Well, so there was the people who were like really freaking out, the hoity-toity, like I need to, you know, get on my dad's plane or whatever and get out now. So people were booking to the airport and getting out. So the next morning was like you wake up in this hot tent, like it keeps all the air in.
You're like, oh yeah, I'm in hell.
I forgot. Yeah. I woke up and for a second I thought I was in the inferno that is Fire Festival.
Yeah, I thought it was a dream, and then I was like, oh crap, I'm on this island. But so we hear people just like freaking out, getting out of here, and we asked what the deal was. They said, you know, it's canceled. We saw the Blink-182 disclosure they canceled the night before. We knew it was done. So now it was like, how do we get off this godforsaken island? And so this is when it gets good. So they were tracking who to get off the island first on a sheet of, like, paper that you would use to write down, I don't know, a list of any type of name.
Yeah, like into a bar or something. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like Marianne's sheet, you know? Yeah, yeah. So which I've done plenty of times. But besides the point, so Fabry goes, puts our name down at 8 in the morning. They're like, hey, we can get you out on a flight at 12, so we were fine. We go back an hour later to check. They lost the sheet of paper.
They're like, the wind took it.
It storms one night, it's windy as hell the next. We're losing
Someone's
everything.
Like, oh, I threw my gum in there. My
and
bad,
this piece
man.
Of paper like, said that you guys were like good to go.
You guys were in good shape
this
on the original
your ticket
sheet.
To safety.
Oh, no.
Britain Fran.
Then what?
Yeah. Then pessimism really hits, so we put our name down again. We start, you know, someone's like, this is hilarious. They're like, oh, this guy's been gracious enough to give us free booze for the day. And, like, expected us to be excited. It was like, just get me off the island, man.
Like, yeah, like, if I'm drunk, I'm going to be miserable here still because I'm literally in hell.
So, yeah, then we put our name back on the sheet, came back, and we're like,
pray it doesn't fly away again.
Yeah, so at this point, it was like, well, they're like, hey, you need to give us a recommendation on what flight you want to get out. I'm like, listen, I want to get out in the soonest flight.
America, yeah.
Yeah, get me to America. I put my name on the list at 8. That sheet's gone. You know, get me on the... So then we're, you know, people are starting to freak out. Like, there are people who are sitting around the tent like they're running the fire festival and just getting, they're getting screamed at, like, you fucking retard, you're an idiot, you are a...
Oh, you cannot wear the employee shirt. I would be afraid of getting killed by a mob.
If I was an employee, I would have acted like I was there.
Oh my God, you're wearing an event staff shirt? Like, that is putting your life on the line, I feel like.
No, and the thing was, he didn't. He was just giving it, like, natural advice, and people were freaking. He's like, listen, I don't even work here. I'm just telling you what I did, but, so eventually we get our names on. We say what flights we prefer, made up a lie about like how we needed to get to America for a connecting flight. The 4 o'clock flight turns into like, I don't know. The people who left the island at 11 thinking they'd get on a, or like at 10 thinking they'd get on a flight as soon as possible, were at the airport for like 6 hours.
Right.
When we got there, I'd say around 3, they were still there, hadn't taken off. We waited at the airport, well, mainly at the airport bar, and had a great time until about 10 o'clock, I'd say, and it was chaos. You would have thought this was the last flight out, and the island was gonna blow up. I mean, people were pushing and shoving to get on the flight.
Bane is walking around the island. Oh man, I'm guessing this little bit of the story ends with you not getting on the flight.
So we luckily got on. I mean, yes. As you know, as an alpha, you got to find a way to get on and care about yourself.
Okay, two questions. Do we know who's to blame, and do you get anything because, like, do the people that went and got paid for tickets get anything back?
Yeah, who is this Billy McFarland, Scythe? I know you've done research
on him.
I
hear it's Ja Rule.
No, I think McFarland is the kingpin.
Yeah, you're right. Billy McFarland's the key here. He and Ja Rule are like business partners on that Magnesia shit. Do you remember that, Z?
Magnesis, right. Yeah, that sounds like a really credible venture.
Yeah, it's a great, yeah.
Ja Rule also sounds like a very credible business partner.
Yeah. So, I mean, Billy McFarland, the only instance that I saw him was coming out of like a car full of people and at the line where we were checking in to get our hut or whatever you'd
so
call it.
So you saw him there, yeah.
Oh, he was freaking out, like, just like
he's
immediately.
He's like, I am fucked.
This is, was, I yeah. knew this would be bad, but this is really bad. Yeah.
Yeah, and they, so the best part is they sent an email like, you know, we promise we're going to do this. We promise we're going to get you your money back. It's like, listen, you guys, you didn't fulfill any promises. Why the hell would we trust you on getting our money
back?
Yeah,
you're like, oh, yeah, I'm sure I'll get the check this week.
You guys have come through on everything else you promised.
You're just kind of waiting, hoping you get your money back.
Yeah, and they said, fill out this questionnaire. If you file, you know, like a billing dispute to your bank, we're not going to pay you money back. I mean, do we trust the bank that has billions and billions of dollars, if not trillions, or Fire Festival who just screwed us?
Fire Festival.
Definitely fire. Very trustworthy.
Yeah.
Let's,
exactly.
I think
so,
we start a GoFundMe. All the listeners out there, we're going to try and reimburse Scythe for his fire debacle.
Yeah, and I'm sure, I didn't even look at the questionnaire, but I'm sure it had, like, please upload your passport photo again.
Yeah, and deposit, like, $600 more.
Well, yeah. Look, we're glad you're safe back in America.
Before we let him go, though, we gotta get some stuff on the ponies.
It's 6-0 in derbies. Yeah. Why is the derby your specialty, Seth?
Well, as you know, growing up on the south side of Chicago, there's just a lot of horse racing, a lot of gambling.
Yeah, if you don't know the horsing community.
The ponies purr in Chi-Town. I knew that. Yep.
Yeah, so it's just been a passion of mine. I usually do a weekend, polo type of gig. But bottom line is the record speaks for itself.
It does.
If you want money, go to you.
Yeah, and if you don't want to talk like betting politics with me, that's probably one area that I can stay away from.
He laid it on Hillary and let you sit and pay off.
Hey, a lot of people did. A lot of people went to Fyre Festival also. Not a lot of people did both. But all right, let's get the Derby lock, Scythe.
All right, well, I'll start it off. Clearly, Classic Empire is drawing a lot of money from the public and is drawing the post 14, but the thing is, people forget, only two horses have won the Derby from that post specifically. The last one being in 1961, I believe.
Jesus.
The horse was Carryback, I believe.
Yeah, we all remember Carryback. God, could she run?
Yeah, maybe that's something you try to put, bet the show on that, but I'm staying away. I don't like betting the favorite. But I like the close favorites. Always Dreaming, whose trainer is Todd Pletcher. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Todd. But,
of course.
Yeah, of course. He's had 9 Derby winners in the past.
Hello, Todd.
So, yeah.
And what's Always Dreaming going off at? 4-1?
Get your money out for that. The record speaks for itself. I mean, that's like betting on Belichick to make the playoffs.
Dreaming.
Basically. What's Always Dreaming going off
5-1, Scythe?
Yeah, Always Dreaming's 5-1. My real favorite is Irish War Cry, not only for the Irish roots I have, but Irish War Cry won the Wood Memorial in early April. He's a speed demon. So what I'm expecting, and I think he's in gate 17, which is kind of far out there, but speed out of the gate initially is going to keep him away from like that chaos in the first couple furlongs. And the anxiety is going to be low because he's not waiting in the box for too long. 17 kind of comes at the end there.
Late. Watch out for the Irishman.
Wait, so is the Irish War Cry the official pick?
Yes, that's my official
pick. And what's he going off at?
6-1.
6-1.
Enjoy the free money, folks.
Roll Irish.
Roll Irish. Very much appreciate the Fyre Chop. Very much appreciate the free money on Irish.
We'll get him back on for the Preakness.
Don't go to any more music festivals.
Yeah, I'm off the music festival train. Thanks for getting me on, guys. And let's go Irish War Cry.
We'll see you soon, man.
All right, see you guys. Thanks.
We have lots more coming up on In the Loop, but before we get to all of it, we want to tell you about Helix. One size fits all never really fits, right? So then why is your mattress one size fits all? Well, because a truly customized mattress will cost you $5,000 to $10,000 until now. You have to check out Helix.com. Here's what we want you to do. Go to HelixSleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and they'll run a 3D biomechanical model of your body, resulting in an optimized mattress that's completely custom to your needs. It will also be the most comfortable mattress you've ever slept on. They even can customize each side of the mattress for couples. Your mattress arrives at your door in about a week, and shipping is completely free. And here's my favorite part. You have 100 nights to try it out, and if you don't love it, they'll pick it up for free and give you a full refund, no questions asked. Go to helixsleep.com/Mike and get $50 off your order right now. That's helixsleep.com/Mike for $50 off. helixsleep.com/Mike.
All right, great chat with Scythe on the festival, the refugee camp, the Derby, Zach.
Nice just knowing I'm going to win money.
Yeah.
I'm so mad I missed it.
You're not getting the picks.
We'll give you the Scythe locks.
No,
we'll give them to him. We'll give you the locks. Clue, fake news. We all have themes today. Mine are Trump tweets. I'm going to read some. You guys can guess if they're real or fake. Zach has, he's been reading the Brett Favre book. So he's going to do Brett Favre stories. And
Zach has only read the Brett Favre book and the Harry Potter book in the last 5 years.
Harry Potter books.
That's true. But some of the farm stories, I've heard a couple, are unbelievable. And you've got some stuff on presidents. Is that right, Gloop?
Yeah, that's right. President of the United States.
All right, I'm going to reel off some Trump tweets.
Okay.
All right, first one. So excited for Jared Kushner to become first honorary Girl Scout for a day alongside granddaughter Annabella. Proud of you both.
True.
I need to hear the second one.
No.
There are more. You got to just guess. True or false?
I'm going false.
That's false.
Shit.
It makes me feel so good to hit sleaze bags back. Much better than seeing a psychiatrist,
True.
Which I never have.
True.
True.
True. Friend told me Joe Rogan bad-mouthed me on his show today. Funny from a guy who didn't even graduate college.
True.
Sad.
True.
That's false.
It's false. Not real.
Just destroying Rogan's education.
All right, last one. I've never seen a thin person drinking Diet Coke.
That's false.
It's true.
No.
It is. It's 2012 and stuff like that. He used to tweet about ridiculous things.
If I had known you were going all the way back, I would have said true.
Yeah, he used to tweet about Robert Pattinson's relationship and crazy stuff. The old tweets are great. Yeah.
So he doesn't like Diet Coke. He likes the original because we all know he's got the red button on his
desk. Oh, my God. Pointing to the button, everyone in America watching is like, oh, my God, what does that button do? And he's like, it gets you a Coke. Or Pepsi. All right, Zloop, Brett Favre's stories.
Okay. The first one I was going to ask, but I've already told you, is that he tried to get his mom to buy him Redman when he was 3 years old. And that's true. Okay. Favre. So Brett shot his brother point blank in the face with a BB gun.
I'm going to go... False.
True. Yes.
When Brett was 9, he made his brother drink something consisting of dip spit, mustard, cow manure, and his own piss.
False.
True.
No.
Brett intentionally threw a brick off his roof at his brother and hit him in the face.
True. Given the last one. True.
Clue?
I'm going to say true just because he's obviously very accurate with his arm.
Yeah, true. 3 for 3, that's all I got.
Oh, wow, those are good. All right,
yeah,
Clue.
He said he put a BB gun up to his brother's head, to his cheek, thinking there were no bullets in it, like the tip of it was touching his face, and then he pulled the trigger and there was one more in there. He was fine, they worked it out.
Jesus. All right. Out of the darkness of Brett Favre's childhood, Gloop, to presidents.
Okay. Thomas Jefferson invented mac and cheese.
Oh, man.
Yes,
false.
It's true.
Gloop. It's true.
Wow.
It's true.
TJ invented mac and cheese?
Dude, he went to France. He was like, here's the cheese. Here's the pasta.
Wow.
And
do we know if it was bow tie or an elbow or what?
It's unclear. I think actually it might have been penne at first.
Oh, a little penne.
I don't know.
All right. That's very good. You got me.
And on the same topic, so Benedict Arnold, noted Revolutionary War traitor, was the first man to bring guacamole to the colony.
False.
You blew it, dude. You blew it by laughing at your own joke. And it was good, but come on. Benedict was not sucking down guac on the battlefield. Oh, that's very good.
Yeah, a little cilantro, a little
Has anyone seen my red onion?
No, it's well known that Arnold loved guac.
Yeah. I would just come up with a backstory where like he had worked in Mexico City or something, but it didn't work. Okay.
All right, that's all we got, Kloop. Get your computer undocked.
No, I got two more. We're not done.
All right.
We are No.
All right.
President Andrew Jackson received, and he's been in the news lately.
He has.
President Andrew Jackson received a 1,400-pound wheel of cheese when he was president. Chunks of cheese were given as gifts to many of his friends and dignitaries.
True.
That's true. I've heard the, because isn't there a West Wing story about like a block of cheese? Yeah.
Right,
we got you.
1,400-pound wheel of cheese.
Yeah, it's like a big old wheel. So we know the next one is going to be a ridiculous false, but okay, go ahead.
President Ronald Reagan kept a bowl full of jelly beans on the Oval Office desk.
True.
False.
No, it's true. Ronnie loved jelly beans.
You went 2 for 4.
And,
2 for 4,
and
man. Favorite,
and the Gifford's favorite flavor was black licorice, boys. I'll see you next week.
That is dark.
And get so your computer figured out. Apologize to the listeners one more time.
No, his favorite flavor was black licorice. Oh.
Shit, we're hanged.
I was like, what?
You're done.